Father, in the name of Jesus, as we hear your word, speak to us, direct us, change our lives in Jesus' mighty name. So I believe you are aware of our teaching series for the month of January. It has been titled True North, Following God's Plan for Your Life. And for the past four services, we've been doing what you can call a foundation laying. Lord, as your word comes, let every demonic hindrance be taken away. In the name of Jesus. See, every opportunity I have to preach, it's an opportunity to shape your life in the direction of God's plan. Please, every time you have an opportunity to hear the word of God, take it serious. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so, last week, Sunday, we talked about apostolos, sent of God. And we said, every one of us has been sent of God. And we are sent to know God, we are sent to manifest God, we are sent to make an impact, and we are sent to make a difference. Say after me, I am sent to know God, I am sent to manifest God, I am sent to make an impact, and I'm sent to make a difference. Glory. And during the midweek service, we began talking about something which we called yielded. What does it mean to be yielded? To be yielded means to submit to the will or the influence of something or someone. To be yielded means to submit or to surrender to the will or the influence of something or someone. And we explained that being yielded to God is one of the secrets to knowing God's plan for your life. Are you with me? You know, because we're talking about knowing God's plan for your life, or following God's plan for your life. Being yielded to God is one of the secrets of knowing God's plan for your life. Psalm 25 from verse 9, it says, the meek will he guide in judgment. Can we put it on the screen? Psalm 25 from verse 9, it says, the meek will he guide in judgment. So it is only those who are meek, who have made up their mind that, Lord, when I see your will, when I see your way, I will follow it. It is those kind of people that he will guide in judgment. Amen. He says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. If you follow the midweek service, I give an example to explain this. You know, I finished from secondary school 2009. Yes, 2009. Am I old? No, you can't make me feel old. But well, 2009. And I went to teach in a primary school. And one of the days I had to teach the pre-nursery. And if you have ever taught pre-nursery, when you are trying to get them to write numbers, sometimes you have to hold your hands to write the numbers. Are you with me? Are you with me? You have to hold your hands to write the numbers. And then there was this boy that I had to hold his hand to write three. The scheme of work said it was time to write three. But it's like this boy made up his mind that he wanted to write a stroke and what you can call jaga jaga. So I will hold his hand and I will try to write three. But you can literally feel the resistance from this boy's hand. Are you with me? And interestingly, that morning, I cannot forget, that morning of my morning devotion, that morning, I read the meek will he guide in judgment. Psalms 25 from verse 9. And then it was like God was allowing me to encounter this boy. This boy was not meek at all. He was set in his own way. I want to write three. The guy, I want to write a stroke. I want to write three. At some point, I had to hold his hand by force. You will write three today. You will write three. It seemed like the boy was telling me what you will say. No, but you go tell me what thing I go do. At the point I used my 2 months, you will write three. You will write three. Are you with me? And after I was done with him, I had to write three with another child. And this was a girl. And this girl was very meek. Oh, she just surrendered her hand like this. Teacher, take hold of my hand. The curves were coming out very well. Are you with me? We mastered how to write three, mastered how to write four. At a point, I wanted to teach only her. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, like I said on Wednesday, some people, God wants to write a statement to their life. God wants to write something. But then they are saying, God, I will not agree. No be you go tell me what I go do. No be you. And they just keep struggling. The Bible says, woe to him that striveth with his maker. You will not strive with God. Amen. Amen. Then we also looked at Hebrews 10 verse 7. Hebrews 10 verse 7 says, then said I, can we put it on the screen? Hebrews 10 from verse 7. It says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. It says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now, if you look at this text closely, there are words in a bracket. That means as it were they inserted it in there. So read it as though those words in the bracket were not there. It reads something like this. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Are you with me? Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Listen, Christianity begins when you get to the point where you discover, listen, I want to do the will of God. I want to do God's will for my life. Have you gotten to that point where you have come to the absolute conclusion? It is the will of God for my life that makes sense and makes sense only. Or you are still trying to figure things out by your own wisdom. Still trying to arrange things by your own plans. Still trying to arrange things by your own sense. You know, 2 weeks ago, the first midweek service, we talked about the beginning of wisdom. Please listen to that sermon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you get to the point where you understand that God's perspective is the beginning of wisdom. Are you with me? Are you with me? I pray for you understand in the name of Jesus. I pray for you understand in the name of Jesus. You know, that day, that midweek service, I gave it a story of my personal experience. I was doing my IT in 2014 in a certain oil servicing company. But I had a dream. Just before I got the offer to start with that company, I had a dream and I was offered a placement in a different company. I read engineering, I read mechanical engineering. So I was offered a placement in a different company, but I felt like this company is the place I will work better. This company will give me the connections I need. But God showed me in a dream where he wanted me to work. Are you following me? You know, let me tell you something. I believe God does not really want any of his children to walk in darkness. Usually, before you make any major step that will affect you, God will give you direction. Whether you are born again or not, I'm telling you. Whether you are born again or not. How much more when you are not even born again? Anything major that's going to happen in your life, God would have warned you ahead of time. We'll get to that in this teaching series. How to discern and follow the will of God. How to know what God is saying per time. Somebody says, oh, God did not speak to me. I didn't hear a voice saying, my son. But many times, he's trying his best to get to you. It's just that some people are too distracted. Sometimes, something happens and they were like, something told me, oh. I saw this thing, oh. I don't know if it was it Port Harcourt Church or Abuja Church that shared that testimony. A lady had a dream. In the dream, she saw her friend who is into female wares. Female wares. And her friend brought what they call bail. Who knows what they call bail? You know that, right? Thrift clothing and all of that. And her friend brought it for her to make some choices. In the dream, when her friend brought it, she picked a cloth And a scorpion came out from that cloth and entered her body.
In the dream.
Actually, it was a bra. The next day, her friend actually came
with the bale.
Are you hear what I'm saying? But you see, there is something called spiritual slumber. Where God can show somebody a thing. They will see it too. You know when you are asleep, they can ask you something. You are awake, your eyes are open like this. Have you seen people like that? Their eyes are open. Will you eat? Yes. Will you not eat? Yes. Will you fry plantain? Yes. What if we boil it? Yes. Then, later when they come to their senses, are you not the one that said it? Me? Their eyes were open, but they were asleep. Spiritually, some people are like that. Are you what I'm saying? And she was asleep spiritually. And her friend brought the bell. The exact same thing she saw in her dream last night. And guess what? She did exactly what she saw. She picked a bra and wore. I say, it makes sense, so. She said, I even see you for dream, oh. 1 week later, she became sick. Took her everywhere. Took her everywhere. The doctors will say, we don't know what's happening. But something is like, it's eating you up from your breast. Unexplainable breast cancer started. It was when the thing was too much. She now opened up to her daughter. I had a dream. And told her daughter everything. She said, Mommy, that's the answer now. Thank God for the power of God. I pray for you. You will not be asleep. Amen. This year, you will wake up spiritually. Amen. You will not be asleep. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll talk about that when we get there. So, we began to ask and answer, why do people struggle with yielding to God? And the first thing we talked about was limited knowledge. Chapter me, limited knowledge. This was from midweek service. Go back and listen to it. Limited knowledge. We don't know enough. We think we know enough. But you are dealing with the God who is the Ancient of Days. He's Alpha and Omega at the same time. The least you can do is to trust him. Are you with me? When he gives you a direction, when he's trying to order your life in a certain way, when he's trying to guide your life in a certain way, you have to trust him. For instance, Abraham and Lot had a quarrel. They had a dispute. And then they were supposed to choose land. God has been talking to Abraham since. Lot does not know how to hear God. He has been following Abraham since. When it was time to choose where he would live his life, he now thought, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah looks beautiful. The plain of Jordan looks beautiful. I will go there. You see, he was walking by the sight of his eyes. In Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says it was beautiful as the garden of the Lord until the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot did not know that the place that was looking as the good place, God had a plan for destruction. There was a demolition plan. The place he went to go and build his destiny. He did not know that Minister of of Divine Destinies has marked it for demolition. Are you with me? He was looking at the sight of his eyes. By the sight of his eyes, I will go to Sodom and Gomorrah. My God. And he went there. And by the time God rained fire on it, he did not know. Maybe if God told him, don't go there, he would like, this place looks fresh now. Limited knowledge. We know too little. Praise the Lord. And today's service, I'll go into something that will help you understand this even deeper. The second reason why people struggle to yield to God, if your neighbor is sleeping, tell them to wake up now. Amen? Is the flesh. Say after me, the flesh. What is the flesh? It is the human propensity to reject the will of God. It is the human propensity to reject the will of God, the way of God, and the mind of God. Are you with me? You know, let me tell you something. When you study what the flesh is, that human nature to reject the way of God, you understand what I'm saying. I want to ask you a question. Think with me. How much is a movie ticket in the cinema right now? 10,000, right? Please, okay. Even if you've not gone to a cinema for a long time, just what's the average answer? Just chorus it. 10,000 naira, right? Do you know that there are some people, if you told them that you went for a service and you gave 10,000 naira as your offering, they'll be like, offering, thank you. Are you just, please, are you with me? Are you just seeing how right now already there is a human nature or human propensity to downplay the things of God? Are you with me? Now, some people, if they give that 10K in church, they're like, Father, I gave you. But when they went to the cinema, it was just, you know, it's just 10K. But things have changed, though. 10K. Please just. The last time I went to cinema, when I went. About 6-7 years ago, get one girl I like this. We went to the cinema. 1.5. 1.5 was movie ticket. Then Blockbuster movies, 3.5. That was when Endgame came out now. I had a friend. No, not he was not a friend. He was like a spiritual son. He will come and tell me. I'll blow his cover. Kiki, he's a married man now. Kiki, come and tell me, Pastor. And who knows Endgame? Endgame is out. Endgame is out. He bought a ticket for him and his friend. And they went and watched it the first time. Went again, watch it again. They say, it's too good. It's too good. It's too good. I said, wait, you went and gave 14,000 naira as offering for a 3-hour service. 3-hour service, oh. He said, Pastor, you don't get. Now, if Endgame came out now, maybe it would be 25,000. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The flesh. The human propensity to downplay the things of God. The human propensity to know what is God's will and yet go the opposite. Why is it that people can be watching a movie for 2 hours, they don't feel it. Once it's prayer time, as they see, maybe it's in a house that they do devotion. I remember those days growing up. I was born again, began my walk with God. We are watching TV, like, my mother will just come. Devotion time. I and my brother were like, God. This is going to be the King of Kings we are talking to. The King of Kings is the person we are talking to. The one that can change everything. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But you see, Satan has a way of obscuring your view to really follow God for who he is. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The flesh. And actually, that flesh, that human nature that rejects the will of God, it was created when Adam and Eve sinned against God. When they ate the fruit that God asked them not to eat of. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And I explained on Wednesday that what exactly does that mean? Please pay attention now. What does it mean by the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? It means that when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, it will produce a kind of nature that you will know good, but you will do evil. That's what it's called. The fruit of the knowledge of good, yet you do evil. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
People know. People know that they need to pray. Even the unbelievers. The day I knew that even unbelievers know they need to call on God was the day I was in a plane that almost crashed. Even white man, they pray. The man that, the way he was acting, you can tell he's an atheist.
When the turbulence became too much, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, you remember Jesus? You know good, but somehow you just want to tilt towards evil.
In the New Testament, it is called the law of sin and death. Paul calls it the law of sin and death. Please, are you with me? Please don't be distracted. Are you with me? The law of sin ensures that what you don't want to do, you have the energy to do. The law of death ensures that what you want to do, you don't have the power to do. It seems like you are there to respond to good, but you are alive to respond to evil.
Yes, sir.
But the Bible now says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory!
Glory.
Meaning that when you get into the faith, when you come into Christ, it is the Holy Spirit in Christ that corrects and recalibrates that nature. Are you with me?
Yes.
Breaks those laws that makes you respond that way. Are you with me? Amen. And then the third reason why people struggle to yield to God, vain concerns. They are worried. If I yield to God now, what will happen to me? If I completely surrender to God, are you sure I will still enjoy my life? If I surrender to God completely, are you sure I will still be able to blow the way I'm supposed to blow? If I surrender to the will of God, won't God destroy my ambitions? You know those days when we used to have what they call singles communion in the church I grew up in years ago, where they come to talk about marriage and love and choosing a partner. And somebody asked a question one day. He said, I want to choose the will of God for my life in terms of a marriage partner, but what if God will give me somebody I don't like? And what if the person is not going to be fine? What if the person is not my spec? And the whole class divided. Then somebody responded, I can never forget. He said, what makes you think that the will of God will always be not your spec?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
What makes you think? Some people, they believe that if God is the one leading them, the person must be ugly.
Yes.
Wait, am I alone?
No.
Please. They believe that God cannot lead a fine boy to them. They believe that if it's God, it will be one guy that cannot dress. Where his shoe is going like this. Color riot. I'm running that race to meet my redeemer. Heavenly race. When he opens his armpit like this, you almost want to enter a pit. They believe that. See, it's a mindset that must be corrected. Are you with me? It's a religious mindset though, that God's own is always going to be bad. Or God's own is body. It's not true.
Yes, sir.
Some people even have it. There are some guys, they believe if they see a lady dressed well with makeup, looking beautiful, enter a church, just say, there's this demonic spirit here. There's a seductive spirit here. Once she's coming, looking all beautiful and everything, Baba, you are looking too much. Just say that this girl fine, no? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And when you look the first time, don't look again. Focus on the love. Don't start saying there is a demon, there is a seducing spirit here. Most likely, you are the one with the seducing spirit. The spirit of seduction is in your eye. Repent. Praise the Lord. It's a mindset to be corrected. You have vain concerns that, if I yield to God. But the Bible says, that will show me the path of life. Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you know what that means? You don't know how to enjoy yourself more than God. God is the one that knows the ultimate definition of pleasure and enjoyment. Are you with me? Everything you call enjoyment today, who made it? Who made it? God. So if he's showing you the path of life, he has factored in your ultimate satisfaction in it.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The problem is that you are trying to understand his ways with your small brain. You may think, oh, if God is leading me towards this person, he's like this or she's like this. If God leading me, what if?
Yes, sir.
Say after me, God has a plan for my life. And I choose to trust his plan. Vain concerns. People are more concerned about the cost of obeying God than the blessings of obeying God. They are more concerned. It took me a while to understand what I'm saying. I remember those days, God would tell me, give, or sow this, or do that, and I'll be struggling. When I eventually do it, and later I see what God does with me, and I look back, the thing that God was asking me to do is nothing compared to what he wants to give me. Are you with me? Amen. Vain concerns. You will see Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Are you with me? Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. So, how was he able to endure the cross? Who for the joy that was set before him? When you want to yield to God, one of the first things to do is, what can God produce for my life? When yielding to God, put your eyes on the joy that is set before you than the cross you have to carry to get there. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? Sometimes you want to pray. It looks like it's very hard. But by the time you pray and express the glory of God and express intervention, you will now see that the stress of praying is nothing compared to what God can do through prayer. Are you with me? The stress of fasting is nothing compared to what God can do with fasting. Are you with me? Vain concerns. Number 4, the seeming pleasure of disobedience. The Bible says stolen waters are sweet. But the end thereof, I don't need to complete it. There's destruction, death, pain, everything. However, I have a nudge in my spirit to reemphasize this subject. I know we taught it on Wednesday, and I just did a recap. But I want to emphasize it again. And do you know why? Because it is very possible to say yes to God and your yes is not complete.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? And this is where many people are. It's not like they are telling God an outright no. It's just like, hey. So it's not like they are telling God an outright no. They are saying yes, but the yes is not really complete. So they obey partially sometimes. They fully commit sometimes. Sometimes they are going back and forth. Some people walk with God the way they test their leg in a swimming pool. So they come and do like this. It's deep. So they will tell them this is the shallow side. So they come in and enter small. Enter small. By the time they are going to the deep side, no! No! Who knows what I'm talking about? They run back. No, no. It will carry me away. If you cannot swim, run, no. But if it is God you are dealing with, allow him carry you. Are you with me? When you study the instruction that God gave to Noah in building the ark, do you discover that there was no place where Noah had the ability to control the ship? Unlike every other ship that is created today or built today, the captain can control it where he wants it to go. But God told Noah, build the ark. But there was no place for him to control. He will enter and him too that build to be watching. And God was saying, allow me. God, water is going to cover the whole earth. What if this ark or this ship runs into a mountaintop and scatters the whole thing? God, what if this ship runs into this? What if it runs? He said, don't worry. Just allow me. By the time we are done, you will be where I want you to be, at the right place, at the right time, under the right circumstances. Are you with me? Can you say after me, Lord, I will yield to you. So I was saying some people yield to God, but their yes is not complete. And an example of that is the man called Saul. He's a classic example of that. And you are going to see all the things I talked about. Limited knowledge. The things that hold people from yielding to God. You will see how it played out in this man's life. Are you with me? Because when God chooses a person to be king in Israel those days, God had a plan that he will not just be king, but his children, his generation, his dynasty. Are you with me? But all of that was cut short because Saul could not completely yield to following God's plan. Can we open to 1 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 1? First Samuel 15 verse 1. Amen. 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 I took my time to give you that background because without it, your back may be on the ground in the following part of this teaching. So please bear with me. Amen. Amen. First Samuel 15 from verse 1. The Bible says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Jump to verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling. Now pay attention. Ox and sheep, camel and ass. Please, are you with me? Yes, if you are with me, say, I'm with you, Pastor.
I'm with you, Pastor.
From the front to the back, I'm with you, Pastor. God intentionally mentioned, you will slay infants, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Today is not the day to explain why God gave that instruction. Because some people may be thinking, wow, God, you don't even care. Everybody. Another day I will explain. Are you with me? See, when God gives instructions, see, follow God fully. Many times you don't understand why. Your knowledge is limited. Follow him fully. But let's go on. So you read from verse 7. Let's jump to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Now, everybody verse 8. Everybody verse 8 with me. 1, 2, 3, go. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Verse 10, read on. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned his back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Do you know what it means for God to say, I regret making you king? May God not look at a person and say, I regret making you great. Let me pray that prayer for you. May God not look at your life at any time and say, I regret making you great.
Amen.
This is a serious thing. Yes, sir. Are you with me?
Yes,
One day I was praying and the Lord said to me, decide to be light. The lighter you are in my hand, the farther I can carry you up. You see, don't allow yourself to become too heavy for me to carry. When God says a person is heavy to lift, who can lift you then? Verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. He didn't even wait for them to ask him. As he just saw Samuel coming, he said, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Are you with me? Verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. Now, he said it's the people. He's trying to deflect. Are you with me? Yes, please pay attention. Are you with me? Yes, he said, for the people. He says, the people. Oh. If the people wanted to do it and you didn't want to do it, would they still do it? No. But you endorsed it. He said, the people. Somebody went to a bar. He was drinking malt. Everybody was drinking gula. Then they opened one gula for him. Somebody now passed and said, ah, Deacon, you're drinking gula too. He said, they poured it for me. Oh. they poured it for me. Oh. I did not open it. Hallelujah. Amen. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay. Okay, let me read from verse 15. And Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then said Samuel unto Saul, stay, I will tell you what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Everybody read verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Are you seeing? Limited understanding. And the Lord sends thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight them until they'll be consumed. Whereof then did not thou obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. You see verse 20, Saul was still bragging. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord hath sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. They did not tell you to bring Agag. They say, kill everybody. You see, I want to bring Agag. Are you with me? You see, remember I talked about one of the reasons why we don't obey God is that our knowledge is limited. In this chapter, Samuel killed Agag eventually. But if you study Jewish history, if you go to the book of Esther chapter 3, there was a man called Haman. Let me show you something. Just hold this thought. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you with me? Yes, Esther chapter 3 from verse 1, you will see something. If your neighbor is sleeping, then wake up now. Wake up now. Don't miss this one. Please. Esther chapter 3 from verse 1. Please, I want us to put it. Everybody read. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all princes that were with him. Now, in the Bible, there is no direct genealogy to show that Haman was from the line of Agag. So when I did not see the genealogy in the Bible, I went to check other books. I stumbled on the historian Josephus. Josephus said that Haman was the 16th generation from King Agag. That it is plausible that when they told Saul to kill all the Amalekites, he left some of Agag's family. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God saw in the future that there will be a man called Haman that will arise and say all the Jews should be killed. And God was telling Saul now, there was no way Saul would have seen that. Are you with me? There's no way. God had seen already that a day will come, Israel will find themselves there, and there will be a man called Haman. Hey, God. When God tells you something to do, obey.
Yes, sir.
When God tells you something to do, obey. Train yourself not to see the full picture before you obey. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You know? No, let me not go there. Let me not go there. Many of the people that I've seen have broken homes. Sometimes when I sat with the man or sat with the lady and I asked them, when you were getting married, what happened? They were saying, ah, that time something was telling me. Something. The ones that I'm talking about, homes that now fights. Something was bothering me. Don't go. What you think I'm talking about a particular person? The person I'm talking about, she's in her 50s. She said 2 weeks to the wedding. 2 weeks to the wedding. She told her mom, Mommy, I'm afraid. I can't really place it, but I'm afraid. I said, but you love this man now. Everything. He said, I don't know, but I'm scared. Literally, I'm scared. But the mom told her, don't worry. There's nothing. He said, can't you see all he's doing for us? He's a nice man. No, he's a good guy. Oh. And then, when they got married, they had the first child, a girl. And then he was trying to process his Canada visa. I remember that time. My mother was a prayer contractor. We had all night for 1 year. Every night we were praying, oh God, give him the Canada visa. Oh God, give him. Oh God, we were praying. Me, at the point, I got tired. Then I said, I was not even born again. I was not serious with God. My mom would drag me. We'll go to the house. When they are praying like this, I'll be sleeping. I'll wake up after 2 hours. This prayer will never change. Every time, Canada. Finally, he got it. It looks like God was trying to tell them, are you sure you want? If you get what you want, will you want what you get? It looked like God was trying to tell them, slow down. This thing, don't go now. Think, rethink it. If your neighbor is sleeping, tell them, wake up. It felt like God was trying to tell them, are you sure you want this? Are you sure you want this? But they got the visa. The man went abroad. The children's school changed. They were our neighbors. You can see that dollars were flowing in. My God. Then I remember the children. Oh, they come with chocolates and everything. Me, I said, I should have bring that Canada too. Maybe I should. After 2 years, this time he did not just send dollars. He sent dollars and a divorce later. Oh, Gary married, started life. A fresh life, stopped sending money. Life became tough. Till today, that woman has not gotten married. Till today. Life became tough. Very, very tough. You know what it means? Life is so tough. You start selling vegetables. You got a farm. Started farming. Started cultivating cassava. Making garri and selling. God has seen 5 years ahead of time. And was telling her, okay, this man, finally, okay, you have entered. This Canada, wait first. I pray for you. As God is guiding you, you follow. Yeah. From this time henceforth in your life, you will yield to the plan of God for your life. Yeah. From this time henceforth, no more careless choices. Amen. You is to make you a yielded man. It's to make you a yielded woman. That's the first thing it does. It works in you. It says, it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do. So before you start doing, God will work on your will. He makes you willing and obedient. Are you with me? It happens in prayer. Number two, how do you yield to God? By discipleship and training. The more you hear the word of God like this, the more you will be yielded. Are you with me?
by discipleship, when you are trained, when you are taught, when you are taught. Praise the Lord.
Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you seeing this now? By the time your mind is being renewed, you become more willing to yield to God. You know what the prophet said to Samuel? He says, when what Samuel said to Saul, he says, when you were little in your own eyes. So by the time you renew your mind and learn about the word of God, it helps you to see very well, to see things the way they ought to be seen. You are humble in God's sight. You are malleable in God's sight. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So by discipleship and training. And let me tell you something here. Let me tell you. If you are here and you know that you don't really have a serious walk with God, this year should not pass you by.
Yes, sir.
In fact, I dare say that's why God brought you new breed. That's our handiwork.
Yes, sir.
We train people to be serious in their work with God, to be intimate with God. And I am a living example that anybody with just interest, you can know God. If I tell you people that once upon a time in my life, I was a hooligan, will you believe me? No. At a point in my life, I had a nickname called Rugged. Jesus. At some point in my life, you know, now people say, Pastor, you are gentle. Pastor, there was a time, many, many years ago, I'm talking about as far back as 2005. You make me angry, I will burst bottle. People will make, bah! You the mad! I go blow! I can't even say it again. Pigeon is not sweet in my mouth again. That time, as far back as, but now look at me. I can't even hurt a fly. If the fly wants to cross my path, I will kill you. But what I'm just trying to explain to you that there is nobody God cannot change.
Yes, sir.
There's nobody God cannot change.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the very first things that happened to me when I began my journey with God, after about 3 to 6 months of reading the Bible, praying, I discovered many of the things I thought I was struggling with as addictions. I didn't even know when they left.
Yes, sir.
I thought, this thing is no longer there. I'm not carried away by this thing. Discipleship and training. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this year, you will commit to a church. Commit to a teaching program, like a teaching series like this, is not just one powerful Sunday service. You go back, listen to the midweek. Listen. Let the word of God be entering you. Let it enter. The same way you eat food every day. See, no matter how much you eat today, have you seen people that they're like, fasting is coming. Let me eat 5 plates of rice. There has to be some consistency. Are you with me? Say, if I fill my stomach with food, it will take me for the next 7 days. If you reach 3 days. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You have to be consistent. There is something that consistency does. Let me tell you something. There are some things that will not happen by putting so much effort in a short time. Are you with me? No matter how much a child eats today, even if he eats, he finishes a bag of rice, he will never be as strong and as buoyant and as powerful as a 34-year-old man. It must, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It must take time. It must take consistency. There is nobody who wakes up on Monday morning and brushes his teeth and said, I will brush my teeth so much so that I will not need to brush it again till Sunday. You must wake up every morning and brush your teeth. Do you get that?
Yes, sir.
Discipleship and training. And number 3,
Training in smaller things. Training in smaller things. And now, if you study the instructions I've given, there is prayer that affects your spirit. Discipleship and training affects your soul, your mind. And training in smaller things affects your body. You have to learn to put your body under subjection. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I will be a castaway. When you are born again, you have the Holy Ghost within you. You can put your body under subjection. And one of the first ways to start is by fasting. You will train yourself, I will not eat until 3. It is part of the training in Christ. You know, I remember one time where the Lord opened my eyes permit me to use that word, the mystery of fasting. Do you realize that every time the devil came to tempt God's children directly, both Adam and Jesus, what was the thing in question? Food. The two times we see the devil talk to people to tempt them directly, the issue in question was food. Eve eats. Jesus turned these stones to bread. That means if a man can control his appetite, there will be things in his life that he will control. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So you start from there. You are training your body to yield to God. After the while, you go further, 6 o'clock, no food. And during that period, you don't just sleep and sleep and sleep and say, now 4 o'clock, we're still there. No, you wake up, you pray, you are training yourself to yield to God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And then you deal with the spirit of stubbornness. You know, we all can be stubborn. You set your alarm for 3 o'clock to pray. The alarm rings by 3. You say 3:30. 3:30 comes, you say 4 o'clock. In fact, 3:45. 3:45 comes, you say 4 o'clock. And you can keep going like that until 9 o'clock. Say after me, I will not be stubborn. Oh, some of you are not talking. Some people here, it looks like some people here are angry with me. Are you angry with me? You dey vex for me. Say after me, I will not be stubborn. You know I love you, right? Isaiah chapter 50 verse 5. It says, the Lord God had opened my ear and I was not rebellious. Hey, look at scripture. I don't know. Scripture sometimes used to do me like suya. See scripture. Jesus. The Lord had opened my ears and I was not rebellious. Say after me, the Lord has opened my ears and I was not rebellious. Neither turned away back. Amen. On this subject, you know, we're talking about following God's plan for your life. The biggest motivation that I want to leave with you is you cannot be more interested in your future than God. You cannot love yourself more than God. You cannot make yourself greater than what God will make you. If there is anybody interested in your greatness, it is God. The earlier you tell yourself, I will yield to God and see what he will make me, the better for you. Because if you try to navigate it by your own way, by your own wisdom, by your own understanding, you will be limited. In the Bible, Genesis chapter 11, men came together and said, let us make a tower that will make a name to ourselves, and it will reach the height of heaven. And God came down and scattered that tower. It was their own ambition. It was their own reasoning, their own way. And God broke down that project. But there was a man living his life, Abraham, and God said, I will make you great. Genesis 11 was about the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 12 was about Abraham. Why is it coming so close? It was like, if God was trying to make a statement, some people wanted to make themselves great. It did not work. A man that did not want greatness but was willing to follow me, I will make him great. Jump on your feet.